Good morning again.
Good morning.
I want to bring a lot of greetings from my church and my family back in Kenya. And I want to thank you so much for all your prayers and support for our ministry back in Kenya. I tested Camilla's memory this morning. And maybe I may not want to embarrass you by asking you the way I asked her, what did I preach in this church last year when I was here? Well, I will leave that one to you to keep thinking about it. But please remember, if I happen to come again, God willing, next year, if the Lord will not come back before then, I will be able to ask once again what I have preached to you in 2016. That means you need to keep your memory up to date. Well, the Bible tells us way back before anything existed in this world, God himself existed. And therefore, he was alone there before we were. And in his godliness, or him being God, without consulting anybody, he thought of creating the heavens and the earth. And that is why in Genesis chapter 1, we have the order of his creation. And the Bible begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in chapter 1, verse 26, we see God creating man in his own image and likeness. And the Bible tells us that he gave man all authority to rule over the earth and subdue the earth. But in chapter 3 of Genesis, we find man falling away from God and going his own way. And the curse of God came upon man, and throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and in our generation now, man has been going away from God ever since he fallen in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and right up to today and in the future, people are in gear number 1, going away from God. And that's why many people in the world today, a lot of them will say there's no God. Why? Because man has always made efforts of going away from God. And that's why many of us may not even believe that God exists. And that's why a lot of people in the world fall under many theories and many beliefs. Because when man fallen away from God, he has find himself ways to survive in this world. And to make it worse, God has blessed us so much that we have so much in life. And all these things that we have, in a way, can point us to God. But a lot of people have ignored God. But in the book of Titus, chapter 2, where we just read, I want to share with you something about the grace of God. So if I happen to come 2017, if I ask you what I've preached in 2016, you'll be able to say you preached about the grace of God. Well, when Paul wrote to Titus, in chapter 2, verse 11, down to verse 12, Paul mentioned about the grace of God. But before we look at in detail the grace of God, I want us to think about the meaning of grace. What is grace? Well, grace, according to the Bible, is something that you don't deserve. And you are given, though you don't deserve it. And so God, in his love, has given us his grace. And in verse 11, the same chapter, we found that the grace of God has appeared to all men. Why? Because the grace of God is a free gift. And that is why it has appeared to all men, regardless of their age, regardless of their color, regardless of their tribe, regardless of their profession. The grace of God has appeared to all men. Why? Because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as we read in Romans chapter 3, verses 23. And as I said, it's a free gift to everyone. And anyone can afford it because it is free. Why has the grace of God appeared to all men, as Paul mentioned in chapter 2 of the book of Titus? Because the grace of God will never run short. It is always there. It will never get finished. Well, in the past and in the present and even going into the future, people will still be saved by the same grace because it will never and never run short. Well, the grace of God has appeared to all men because Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, God told Paul that my grace is sufficient to you. And so the grace of God has appeared to all men, regardless of who they are, because it is sufficient. It is enough. There is nothing you can add unto the grace of God to have more tests. It is enough. It is sufficient. And how did the grace of God appeared to all men, as we read in Titus chapter 2? Well, the grace of God has appeared to all men through Jesus Christ. I remember asking one church this question, and I think I'll ask it today again this morning, that if you want to become a cow and speak the cow language and behave like a cow, okay, and walk like a cow and communicate like a cow, because cows communicate, how do you do that? You have no cows.
You have to know them.
You have to know the cows. But if you want to become like a cow, you become a cow. You have to go back and be born like a cow so that you start behaving like a cow, talking like a cow, communicating like a cow, and being a cow. That is what God thought when he saw that man has continued to go away from him. And man have been so much overwhelmed by so many things in life. And God thought of a way to reach man. And the only way that God came up with is for him to come down and be born like a man, like a human being, so that he can be like a human being, he can be a human being and talk the human being language and be able to communicate in the same way that we do communicate, in our lives, me and you, you know, we can talk. And that is why God came down and he was born. And he became like one of us, as the Bible says. Why? Because the grace of God has appeared to all men through Jesus Christ. The grace of God, as we read in the Bible, has appeared in a visible way. In a way that we can understand. In a way that we can really reason and say, hey, it is the grace of God. Why? It has come through the way of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, that God's saving grace was given us before the beginning of time. And now it has been refilled through the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the grace of God, after appearing to all men and to all people of all color, of all the world, doesn't matter who you are, the Bible tells us that after the grace of God has appeared to all men, that was not enough only to appear. But the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2 that it has appeared so that it can bring salvation to all men. So that it can save us. It can bring salvation. What is salvation? Because a lot of Maasai people, when we go around and preach the gospel in the Maasai villages, they will always say, hey, you're telling us that we are lost. And here we are. We are busy doing our own businesses. We are looking after our cows. We are sending our children to school. We are visiting each other. We can see one another. And you're telling us we are lost. And it needs God's grace for one to explain to people about salvation. Like, you preach in this part of the world where there is a lot of good things, a lot of material things, which is good. God has given us to use them in this world. But people will ask you here, what does your God add unto me? And I've got almost everything I need in life. I've got a good car. I have a good house. Our roads are good. We have electricity. I have everything. I don't beg. I'm not in the street begging anything. But what can God add unto me? Salvation is something that is that the grace of God can bring unto us. And it is something that is very, very important than anything else you can think in this world. What is salvation? Well, the word salvation, it's a Greek word called soteria. And soteria comes from the word sota. And sota means savior. And salvation, therefore, means deliverance. It means preservation. Soundness, restoration, and healing. And salvation itself gives us freedom from the curse of the law. As we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Salvation, as the Bible tells us, it gives us freedom from the wrath of God. As we read in John chapter 3, verse 36. And salvation can free us from death and from destruction. This morning, friends, I would like to tell you that if we cannot take a step through the grace of God and to accept Him, like I did many years ago when I was being trained to become a witch doctor. When I became a Christian, it was then that I realized that I was lost and I was going to die and perish forever without Christ. And that is exactly what salvation does to us. It gives us freedom from death and from destruction and from the wrath of God. So I just want to divide the word salvation into three. Number one, salvation comes in when you discover that I'm a lost sinner and I'm going to die without God. And you take a step of saying yes to Christ and open your heart and He will come in. And by then you'll be able to say, I have been saved from the guilty of sin. Because you have been saved from the moment you believed and say, God, come into my life. And we are completely delivered in that state from his lost state and cleansed and forgiven and justified and born of God and clothed in the merit of Christ, free from all condemnation when we received him and saved forever. And secondly, we are being saved from the power of sin. As Christians, we need to understand that presently we are being saved every day from the dominion of sin in the world. It's a day-to-day thing. I mean, I got saved many years ago, and now I'm being saved every day in my life. And I'm being saved from many things. We're being saved from many things. We get into problems, and we get into troubles in this world. Sickness, hate, fear, insecurity. But God, in his grace, He will always save us from many things that troubles us in this life now, in the present. Number three, we will be saved from the presence of sin. One day and one time, we will not be in this world. And I always like that when I think about the future of my life. I mean, this world is, we're just living by grace. There's a lot of sufferings going on in the world now. A lot of fear is surrounding us. And I keep thinking that heaven will be a very good place to live. And when I think about the third step of salvation, that I will be saved, that we will be saved from the presence of sin, we will need to know as believers that we are yet to be saved from the presence of sin when He will be presented faultless in God's glory. When Christ will come, we will be able to go to a more better place for those who know Him. To be redeemed from the power of sin means that we need to be redeemed from the forces and the power of evil. We need to be redeemed from the world, John chapter 12, verse 31, and from the flesh. As we read in Galatians 5:16, we need to be redeemed from the devil. I wish I had time. I was going to tell you a little bit about what it means to be delivered from the devil and from the powers of darkness. Because the devil is real. He's there in the spiritual world. And practically, back in Africa, personally, I've experienced evil spirit at work. Let me tell you, when I became a Christian, for about 3 months, the evil spirits that I used to communicate with them when I was being trained to become a witch doctor, they kept coming back to me to attack me and oppressing me and challenging my mind. And I remember when my father wanted to kill me because I've become a Christian and there was nobody to be trained to become the next witch doctor in our family, I went through a very, very terrible time. And the evil spirits really fought me badly. And that's why we need salvation, so that we can be delivered. We can get redemption from the power of sin and the power of the devil. We need to think about our lives in a more deeper way as we think about salvation. Because when Christ comes and we will be redeemed from the presence of sin, then we will be presented to God in glory. We will be heavenly citizens. We will be able to belong in God's household when we will have a renewed body. Why? Because Christ is coming back to redeem us from the presence of sin. And we'll go away. You can imagine that we will not be having this cold. It's cold in England now. Really cold. I'm thinking about a more better country. a more better home. When Christ will come, we will never complain about being cold and being hot in Africa. I think heaven will be a very good place. And I admire to be there one day. I mean, many people will fear when we talk about going to heaven. I mean, we're not going to live in this world forever. That's a fact. We need to agree. We need to accept this reality that one day, a man time, we will not be in St. Mary's here. We will not be in Morgrave. What will happen? We will be redeemed from the presence of this world. And we will go somewhere else, somewhere very good, that we all admire to be there. And all the things that we are going through here in this life now, my own challenges and hardships that I'm going through, your own challenges. I mean, people are suffering from within. I tell people in Kenya, you look at people and you preach to them, they look very good. I mean, they look smiling. But if you give people time to tell you the kind of problems they're going through, you'll be amazed. Family problems, individual problems, work problems. Everywhere we are surrounded by a lot of up and downs. But God here is giving us hope that we will be redeemed from the power of sin and the power that rests upon us in this world. And we will be away in another beautiful, good country. And so the root idea of salvation is deliverance from danger or evil. Deliverance from battle or trouble or enemies, violence, reproach, exile, and as I say, death, and be redeemed from sin. Where did I come from? Where is my origin? And what am I doing here today in my present? And where am I going tomorrow? Where will I go? Because I will not live in this world forever. Where did I come from? And what am I doing now? And where am I going? Oh, I turn back and say, my origin is God. And in the now of my life, I'm supposed to live a life that pleases Him and serve Him in my life now. Looking at my future, that I'll be with Him forever. So He's my origin and He's my end. He's my Alpha and He's my Omega. He's everything. But many people will not know that. Let us pray. Loving Father, we want to thank you so much. Thank you for this new day, and thank you for teaching us about your word, your grace, your salvation, your love. Loving Father, we want to pray for our friends who are in this community who do not know you, in this country, in this continent, and in other continents, Lord. We pray that your gospel, your salvation, will be able to reach out and bring many back to yourself. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.